Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and have we got a packed show for you this morning as a shocking transfer message comes out of United and ahead of what needs to be a very big summer. We'll also be reacting a little bit to last night, some of the quotes coming out. United's split decision in the boardroom about Michael Carrick. I think we'd all accept he's going to get the job, whether he should get the job or not. We can discuss that. Also, Onana wants to come back. We've got the latest on Belaba, Anderson. But this is where I want to start this morning, because this makes me think, oh no, not again. Remember at the weekend, I did a show Sunday night talking about, I think I figured out United's plan, and it's stability. It's cheap stability. It's next season with Maguire and Shaw and Bruno. It's Carrick at the wheel with Steve Holland. It's pragmatic football. It's, you know, it's result over performance. It's no vision. It's just survival. It's just fifth place. I think we saw that yesterday, by the way, but I think we're now starting to see the leaks coming out around the summer, the diluting of the optimism, because this is what Simon Stone has put out today. The feeling at Old Trafford is that the approach this summer will differ significantly from what went on under previous regimes. It says Man United are adamant they will not be held to ransom over players' fees this summer. Every player, including their number one target, Elliot Anderson, has a cap they will not go beyond. It also goes on to say, and I do find that shocking, but it also goes on to say that firstly, it's been stressed the club will not overpay if the price for Elliot Anderson exceeds £100 million. United will not pursue. Every player has a cap, no matter how well regarded they are. Secondly, they intend to avoid getting drawn into protracted negotiations before switching after the season has started, which is exactly how Casemiro ended up at Old Trafford in 22 after Erik ten Hag's lengthy pursuit of Frankie de Jong ended in failure. So look, we do sort of start to cast our eye on the summer now, because Champions League football is basically done, although not officially. I think we know it's basically done. And we start to excitedly look at the summer transfer window, but it doesn't fill me with excitement. And there is another update from Fabrizio, which I'll read out in a moment. It doesn't fill me with excitement when the board are happy to brief to credible journalists that we will not overpay on transfers. Because whilst some of our accountant fans run to the tissues to get excited, I run to the tissues to start crying, because I actually know how this club works. Stability is cheap. Consistency will never happen with stability. You have to have players that are better than what we've got, and you have to go and get them. And they cost money. They cost money. If we're operating, you know, if you're operating in a world where everybody has the same morals, then maybe you can be moralistic about not overpaying. But we're working in the world of football. Saudi exists. Man City exists. PSG exists. Real Madrid exists. If you do not spend money in football, you do not succeed. So I don't know what Man United fan gets excited about listening to stuff like United aren't going to overpay. There's definitely people in this live chat. There's definitely people out there going, get in. That's my club. That's my club. That's my club. We won't overpay. We won't overpay. And then you sit them down and you go, why are you excited about that? I don't know. It just sounds like it's bloody good, doesn't it? We won't. United. 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 We won't overpay. United. Yeah. Why is this a good thing? I don't know. I don't know. It just sounds like, have that, we won't overpay because we're Man United. We haven't won a league title for 13 years. I know we haven't. I know we haven't. We haven't competed for a title for 13 years. Get in, United. We won't overpay. We do what we want. We do what we want. Yeah, we'll finish fifth. We hardly ever qualify for the Champions League. United. United. And it's like, you know what? It does need calling out. It does need calling out, because what does not overpaying do? Now, somebody's going to say straight away, but we've overpaid for years. Yeah, we've overpaid on the wrong players. It's like the Liverpool fans that say, like, you'll see it online. If you go online now and you say Man United need to spend another £500 million to get anywhere near Man City, right? There'll be a Liverpool fan or an Arsenal fan in the chat saying, bro says they need to spend more money. They've spent £1.5 billion over the last 13 years. And then they'll get loads of high-fiving virtual retweets and likes. Yeah, good one, pal. You put them in the box. And then you sort of sit there and go, you're thick, aren't you? Because ultimately, please tell us the other way to be successful then. We need to spend between £500 million and £1 billion to start competing with Man City. Man City just spent close to £200 million on the January transfer market in wages and signing on fees and transfer fees on Semenyo and Gyökeres. We need to spend between £500 million and £1 billion on players. Absolutely, right? If there's an alternative to that, please tell me. If anybody thinks that, regardless of the manager, right, we'll have that chat in a few minutes. You look at that United side, it's in the Champions League, yabba dabba doo, great stuff, right? We'll talk about results, performances, etc. But we're in the Champions League, great. We'd have took that at the start of the season, right? What's the next step? We want to compete for the title. We want to be in the Champions League again. How do we do that without spending money? We don't. We don't. Harry Maguire's 33, Casemiro's going, Bruno's in his early 30s, Luke Shaw's about to hit 30, Delo's Delo. We haven't got a vast amount of players that are coming through to make us get better from what we've got. Mason Mount's injury prone, you know, there's question marks over Ahmad, you know. This squad isn't a long-term squad. You might look at Chelsea and go, two experienced players, they're a young squad, they could do really, really well. You look at United and you go, they need to spend money. And then the club are putting it out that they won't overpay. So we need to spend money to compete, but we won't overpay. Okay, so basically the scenario you're telling me is we really, really need a really, really, really fast car. Yeah? And lots of other people want them as well. But we won't overpay for that car. So what will happen? We won't get a car that's as good. You need to spend to be good at football. This ain't a fucking business. That's the problem. It's always treated like a business. It isn't a business. It's not, I don't care. I don't care about the Glazers having to pay debt. And I don't care about Sir Jim Radcliffe getting a return on his investment. Shock horror, I couldn't give a shit about Sir Jim Radcliffe getting a return on his investment. And I couldn't give a shit about how the Glazers pay their debt. Because the last time I checked, Manchester United is a football club, and the only thing people care about with Manchester United is what we achieve. So I couldn't give a shit about you not overpaying because you've got debt to pay or you want a return on your investment. Every decent football club goes and gets players that are good. And if we're going to cross off Elliot Anderson and Tonali and Bruno Guimaraes and all these good players because we don't want to overpay, then let's see what happens next season, because it'll be the same old shit on rinse. And it does need calling out. Now, this is what Fabrizio has had to say, because it sort of sounds to me like he's had the same brief as Simon Stone. Elliot Anderson, Man City lead with positive contract talks and a big offer planned. United still love him and will fight to the end and expect to sign 2 to 3 midfielders amid Casemiro and Ugarte exit. But no progress yet as Forest fight relegation and refuse sale talks. Sounds like we're going to get over outpriced. If I was Man City this morning, I'd wake up and I'd go, Bisto. I mean, the best thing you want if you're Man City this morning is a brief coming out from the club at Manchester United that they won't overpay for Elliot Anderson, because you sort of like go, move on to the next one. That's done. I mean, that's a white flag. That's a white flag. The only reason United would put it out there that they won't overpay on Elliot Anderson is to set us all up, to let us know that we've lost, but the real win is we won't overpay. I've seen it so many times with United. They lose out on a player, but then they try and take a moral victory by going, yeah, but we were going to never overpay. What message do you think that says to Elliot Anderson, by the way? You don't think I'm worth £100 million? And Man City will go, well, we do. They don't think you're worth £100 million. We do. It's a white flag. That's what it is. It's trying to rescue a victory from a loss. So you know he's going to City. So you go, oh, we weren't going to overpay anyway. I mean, also, on Tonali. Tonali is on United's shortlist as a long-track target, according to Fabrizio Romano, but he would be very expensive. So United must manage their budget carefully whilst pursuing multiple midfield signings and avoiding crazy spending. What is crazy spending? £100 million on a Casemiro replacement is not crazy spending. And we're getting these briefs about overpaying and crazy prices. Caicedo, £100 million. Enzo Fernandez, £100 million. Declan Rice, £100 million. And not last summer, 2-3 years ago. So £100 million for a decent Premier League midfielder. Declan Rice was from West Ham. Enzo Fernandez was from Benfica. And Caicedo was from Brighton. They weren't even coming in from Chelsea or Arsenal or Real Madrid. They were coming in from Brighton, Benfica and West Ham for £100 million. These are not crazy prices. These are what it costs. Who dictates that it's crazy? It's those prats in the boardroom going, we're not paying that. Yeah, this is why Nice are shit. This is why United are shit. Because you've got prats in charge who think £100 million for a decent midfielder is a crazy price. It's not a crazy price. It's what the price you pay to get better. It's what I pay to get better. All right? Carlos Baleba, this is from Romano. I'm starting to think about a T-shirt with Baleba's face on it and then all roads lead to. So it would say all roads lead to and then a picture of Baleba because I'm starting to believe your chat. It's a chat thing. I didn't start it. It started with you. Baleba is on the shortlist with a personal terms agreement from summer 2025 still valid. He remains very keen, especially with Champions League on the horizon. Now more affordable, down from 90 to 100 last year. He's realistic, lower cost option for United's midfield reboot. And that's it, isn't it? And that's bloody it, isn't it? Baleba is the cheap option. And it makes me want to cry, but it was said by somebody in the chat a few weeks ago, I can see Carrick getting the job and Baleba being the star midfield signing. And I'm just like, with Wilcox and Berarda and Jim in charge of the club, Carrick is the manager and Baleba is the midfield signing. Oh my God. It's scary. It's scary. Let's call Baleba what he is, right? It's Saturday night. You're sat there. You're watching a film or you're playing GTA or whatever. You're relaxed. It's Saturday night. You're hungry. And you go, I really do fancy a Chinese, but they don't deliver. So I've got to get in the car and go and get it. If it's not a Chinese, I fancy fish and chips. But again, they don't deliver. I've got to go and get it. So you get up, you look in the cupboard and there's beans on toast and you go, it's not as good as them. It's nowhere near as good as them, but it's there. It's easy. I can put that in the microwave. I can put that in the toaster and I can be back sat down again in a minute. Let's have that. And that's what Baleba is. It's cheap. It's there. It's in your cupboard. It's easy. But the message is most things in life that are worth doing aren't easy. And we shouldn't be signing Baleba. We shouldn't be signing Baleba. But I'm a little bit worried about this because I feel that the morning after a good result is when United push the stories they want. When we lose, it's Gareth Bale. It's Cristiano Ronaldo a few years ago. You know, when you lose, you sell a lie. When you win, you sell the truth. Why is that? It's a key marketing principle. If some of you are looking to go into marketing, listen to this. You'll probably learn more from this next few seconds than you will in a whole semester. If you run a business and you want to, you know, and there's bad stuff happening, then you need a positive, even if it's not true. So if you get beat 4-5-0 by Liverpool, the next day you say, we're in talks with Gareth Bale, right? Because the negative becomes a positive, even if it's a lie. If you have a positive and everybody's happy, that's when you put out your bad stuff. That's when you put your bad stuff out because people are positive. So we're going to get Champions League football. We beat Brentford last night. Just letting you know. Yeah, great. Just letting you know we might not be able to spend that much money in the summer. But let's celebrate that. Yeah, yeah. So and that's how it's been working at United for years. So, look, Martin says, comments re not overspending may just be posturing. Bollocks. Who are you posturing with, Martin? Who are you posturing with? Hello, Nottingham Forest. We won't be paying £100 million for Elliot Anderson. Good one, Jason. Watch this. He's just signed for Man City. Thought you said that was a good posturing move. I did what you told me, Omar. I told them that we won't spend £100 million on him. You said that's a good posturing move. Yeah, but Man City did pay £100 million. Shit. Yeah, RB Leipzig, we will not be paying £80 million for Yann Diamande. Good one, good one, good. He just signed for bloody Liverpool for £80 million. Posturing's only good if there ain't somebody else in the race. If someone else is in the race, you know, if you want to buy a house for £200,000, and someone else offers £200,000 and you offer £175,000, you're a fucking idiot. It's not posturing, it's stupidity. Also frustrating over the years as well is watching players at United were linked with flourish at other clubs while we, the fans, are fed the usual crap, says Puerto Rico to Puerto Rock. Look, if Elliot Anderson's the best horse in the race and Man City buy it and we don't, and Man City win the race, what do you expect? That's the way I look at signings. I look at good signings like good horses in a horse race. If you buy the best horse, the chance of winning that race is very, very high. If you let somebody else buy that horse and you go for somebody that's second, third or fourth best, chances are you might win every now and again, but over the course of a 38 race season, you won't win because the best are the best for a reason. And we're operating in a different world now where finite detail is analysed. You know, Data Dean, I know what Elliot Anderson had for breakfast. You bloody pervert. But the point is, we know absolutely everything. So these players, Man City's recruitment is a star, isn't it? We should be trying to buy players that Man City want and we should be outbidding them to get them. That's the price of success. If Man City want Elliot Anderson or Tonali or Semenyu and they offer them good wages to get them, we should offer more. Are you telling me that Semenyu in our team wouldn't be the dog's bollocks at the moment? And we backed out. We backed out because of cost. Well, there you go, Man City. You take another player for the next 3 or 4 years that's going to be on it. You get what you pay for in football. There is no overpaying. There is no crazy prices. There is no posturing. There is no get your box of tissues, I'm an accountant. Manchester United and will never succeed down this current road of pragmatism and stability. It just won't work. Seth says, my issue is that those we won't overpay for players do not come from high morals. They're just cheap and go for mediocrity. Just look, we're still on belabor, says Seth. Patrick Lynch says, it's sad that as a club we've been so badly run for so long that strategies like being more cost effective seems like a good thing. Good players don't come cheap. It's not about speed. It's about the people being recruited. Well, look, you know, I heard Michael Carrick talking about the centre-backs and he said, you know, I'm happy with what we've got. We've got a mix of experience and a couple of young players. My concern is that Michael Carrick feels like that about the whole squad, because that's a huge mistake, but it's a huge attraction for the club. Now, we don't know. I'm purely speculating, and he only said it about centre-backs, but he might be saying to the board, I'm very happy with what I've got. And he might be very happy with what he's got because he's got a bunch of people that, you know, play for him. Forget performance, the results are there and they play for him. He might not want wholesale changes. Marmon, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. And Daniel Thompson with a good morning message says, hope everyone's well. Big win last night. And with the Champions League sorted, I really hope United are working on transfers. Instead of wasting funds on belabor, use it towards Tonali and Anderson. Thank you, Daniel. I mean, as you know, I think Tonali is the guy to go for. Asher says, players will find Nagelsmann football too difficult and will down tools within months. Carrick is the safer bet and won't break the bank if it unravels, says Asher. Exactly. Comments, we're not overspending, mate. I've done that one. Well, look, this is interesting, actually. Let me just pivot to something else. This was also from Simon Stone. Let me know what your thoughts are on this. There are two schools of thought among the Man United hierarchy about the manager succession plan. The first is that Carrick gets the job because he deserves the chance. It all goes wrong next season and the United hierarchy are derided for following the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer model. Fair point. The other is that Carrick is replaced by a more experienced manager who struggles to adapt and then the hierarchy are accused of trying to fix something that was not broken. Though, I haven't got a problem with that. So basically, there are two choices. You go with Carrick, it all goes wrong because it's just another interim, and the board are in major trouble because everyone says this was always going to happen. And all the Carrick inners can say what they bloody well like, but if we are shit next season, they will forget. I won't forget. I've got the receipts and I know who said it, but they will forget that they said give the job to Carrick and they will be moaning about we shouldn't have done it. So if you do want Carrick, just remember receipts. Receipts. You can't just change your bloody mind. You want Carrick. Don't be there next season saying, oh, Wilcox is an idiot. Berard is an idiot. We could all see this coming, because some of you do want Carrick. So I think it's hypocritical if you start going next season when it all goes wrong. If it all goes wrong, oh, well, they shouldn't have done this. They shouldn't have done that. That is a possibility. The flip side to that coin is if you go with a more experienced coach and it doesn't work straight away, we know what the press are like, we know what some of our fans are like, we should have stuck with Carrick. So there are two very big choices there. I completely agree. If I'm being honest, I think the bigger risk is giving it to Carrick. I really do. I think if you give it to an experienced coach and it goes wrong, you can probably still get Carrick anyway. I mean, what's Carrick going to be doing? He might be at Fulham. He might be at Crystal Palace. He'll still come to Man United anyway. But he might have gone to Fulham and Crystal Palace and done shit. So Michael Carrick's not going to sit on his arse. And this is what makes me laugh about the modern media and how people don't think. So let's pretend there's two... Well, there are two options, right? You give it to Carrick, which they will do. It goes wrong and everyone goes, you fucking mugs. You absolute idiots. You know, everybody, you've done this before. Solskjaer literally won more games than Carrick before he got the job. And they gave it him and look what happened there. Ollie Ball went wrong, wasted 3 years. And you've done it again. And you're meant to be something new and you've basically copied the Glazers, you fucking idiots. All that happens, right? Or you don't give it to Carrick, you give it to an experienced coach, maybe Nagelsmann, whatever, right? And it goes wrong because he doesn't adapt to the Premier League and whatever, right? What's Michael Carrick doing while Nagelsmann's got the job? Might be his assistant. Might have gone to Fulham and done really well. Might have gone to Fulham and done really shit. He can still sack Nagelsmann and bring Carrick back. He's still going to want the job, isn't he? But if you give it to Carrick and it's all gone tits up, what do you do then? What do you do then? I personally think out of the two situations, I'd still go for the experienced coach, because if you go for the experienced coach, you're going for an experienced coach. If you go with Carrick and it goes wrong, you've just done what you did with Ollie. So, and also, if it goes wrong with the experienced coach, Michael Carrick's still out there, isn't he? With his reputation intact. Bring him back then. So, and also, Carrick might go to Palace or somewhere like that and do really well, or he might do really shit. So, I personally think the risk is Carrick. I don't think the risk is an experienced coach, but they're going to give it to Carrick. I'm not saying that they won't. They will definitely give it to him now because they're just going to go off results, aren't they? But I disagree that it's a bigger risk to give it to an experienced coach over following the Ollie routine. I really do. Just to cover some of the stuff that was said last night, Gary Neville on Carrick, he said, I think the Man United fans understood why he changed the tactics in the second half. It was a sensible move. Carrick would have wanted them to play better football and score on the counter, but they got over the line. The most important thing ahead of Liverpool was to be in a risk-free position. Jamie Carragher said he's going to be Man United manager next season, no doubt about it. You can't say he doesn't deserve it. They've put a run of results of a title winner, although they haven't got European football to contend with. I don't think anyone could have come in and done a better results-wise. Performances haven't been great, but it's not a great United team and he's still getting results. The biggest criticism of Amorim was that he never adapted. Carrick has shown he can adapt. And Carrick himself said, at this time of year, it's a results business. We needed to take the points and we've had two fantastic results in a row. So just a roundup of comments there. One comment I did find, just before I move on to something else, I found this comment from Harry Maguire last night really strange. He was asked about switching to a back four and he said, well, the results speak for themselves. Since the manager's come in and the formation has changed, we just seem to pick up results. I think the games previously, when Amorim was here, the games were 50-50, but we always ended up on the back of a defeat. Now it seems like it's the other way around. And I sort of like went, look, the change of formation he's absolutely correct about, but I think that the games previously under Amorim, the games were 50-50, but we always ended up on the back of a defeat. I think that's really dangerous from Maguire to say that about Ruben Amorim, because it's not right. Like, there is this myth going round, and I don't know whether Man United are putting it out there and telling their players to talk about it, but we do need to remember that Ruben Amorim didn't get sacked because of results. He got sacked because he fell out with Wilcox over transfers. And I don't think it's helpful when one of our best players is coming out with quotes like, we were, you know, these games normally ended in a defeat, because they didn't. They didn't. We lost to Arsenal on the opening game of the season and we lost to Man City and Brentford in September. And then we lost to Villa at Christmas when we should have won. And we lost to 10 men Everton. And I remember Nicky Butt saying this a couple of months ago about that would have been a defeat. Like, we didn't actually lose that many games under Amorim. We didn't. We just didn't. So this myth that all these results would have been losses, they'd have been draws. That was the problem. Leeds, Wolves, Bournemouth, Forest, Spurs. Amorim drew too many games, but we didn't get beat. Defensively, we were quite good under Amorim. So I don't like that from Maguire, because that's a little bit like point scoring against a manager that actually had your back and picked you a lot. And we didn't lose a lot of games under Amorim. We just didn't win. That's been the difference. There has been a slight change, and I think the back four works. I also think that, you know, just going back to Carrick getting the job for a moment, I think the interesting thing about last night was that we definitely got dominated again. And it definitely reminded me of Ollie Ball again. So my personal feeling is of fear. I don't think that's going to change. I'm still very scared about Man United giving the job to Carrick, because I still do not see the optimism and excitement that many people have. I see the results, and I understand the results are what matter in football, and that's why they're going to give him the job. But why do I, as a mere mortal fan, why am I so scared of giving the job to Carrick and the board aren't? And that's what worries me. And some of you might agree with me and some of you might disagree with me, but ultimately, that is my opinion. I am entitled to it, and I'm scared of giving the job to Carrick. Why the board not switched on to this? Maybe it's because I've watched a lot more games than Omar Berada and Jason Wilcox and Sir Jim Radcliffe over the last 10 years. I mean, tell me how many games I've missed. How many games have you missed? Jason Wilcox wasn't watching Man United week in, week out before he got the job, was he? Omar Berada wasn't. Maybe it's because we know, and this is a great point, over the last 10 years, if you're a fan of this club, you've probably watched 99% of the games. There's no way Omar Berada's done that. There's no way Sir Jim's done that. And there's no way Jason Wilcox has done that. So maybe we know more because we watch more. Maybe we understand the patterns more. I am scared of giving him the job. I understand he's going to get the job because the results have been good, but I'm still terrified of it. And I think that, as I said, last night we got dominated again, like we did against Chelsea, like we did against Leeds, but we got 6 points from nine. But we did get dominated in all three games. I think that you look at the game last night and you look at the goals, it's moments. Moments, both goals are moments. Brentford actually created a lot better chances than us. I mentioned this, I found the bit of paper actually. So, basically, in Amorim's last five games, we averaged 52% possession and 16 shots. In Carrick's last five games, we averaged 47% possession and 13.5 shots. Last night, we had 44% possession and 11 shots. So it was below his average. So it's coming down again. So Carrick's possession per game is dropping down to around 46% now. It's not great football. It's not great football. I mean, there's a particular journalist for the Manchester Evening News who just seems to be absolutely obsessed with Carrick, because he said TV cameras zoomed in on Steve Holland when it became clear the formation change had been made. Holland worked as England's assistant manager during Southgate's tenure, and they often played with a back five at major tournaments. United fans have bad memories of playing with a back five due to Amorim's disastrous 14-month tenure. But this switch shored up the defence as Brentford pushed to get back into the game. It also showed Carrick is tactically versatile, something his predecessor certainly was not. If parking the bus at Old Trafford 2-0 up at half-time and being dominated in the second half is tactically versatile, this just shows you the bias in the British press compared to having a Portuguese manager. Because I watched that second half yesterday. That wasn't tactically versatile. That wasn't a tactical masterclass. That was park the bus and pray. I mean, Brentford very nearly got a draw out of that game and probably deserved one. So fair play to Man United's defence for holding up, but it wasn't tactically versatile, was it? It was park the bus and pray. And we got the result. Well done. It's not tactical versatility to sit back and get lucky, is it? I sometimes wonder what these bloody journalists are sniffing, because it wasn't tactical versatility in my mind. It was we got away with it again. We got away with it. Chelsea at the bloody post twice, and apparently that was a tactical masterclass. Look, the results are there. You cannot deny the results are there. But when you look at last night, that could have been a draw. Chelsea could have been a loss. We've taken 6 points instead of one. What people need to understand is what I'm about to say here. Michael Carrick will get the job, and he will get the job because of results. What's negative about that? I acknowledge he's going to get the job because the results have been very, very good. So don't for 1 minute start going, oh, negative, moaning. I am sitting here saying Michael Carrick's going to get the job because of results, and the results have been very good. There's no crack in that. There's no spin on that. There's no hidden agenda on that. Michael Carrick will get the Man United job because the results have been very, very good. I could leave it there. My opinion is those results are as thin as the thinnest ice you can see. They're not built on a foundation of performance or vision. There is no future planning and there is no performance behind them. They are, in my opinion, fragile results. Very, very fragile. And what you're asking me to do as a fan, and thankfully not as the CEO, is trust those results and performances to build something over the next 3 years. And also, another thing that concerns me is, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you can see the players that are getting those results. It's the same players every time. It's Bruno Fernandes, it's Casemiro, and it's Harry Maguire. It's three players well into their 30s that we're reliant on to turn these fragile results into wins. Bruno Fernandes in a Brentford shirt last night wins the game for Brentford. So we go back to what we're talking about at the start. By all means, give Michael Carrick the job, but he needs huge investment. If they think Carrick and one or two signings is going to do well next season, you've not got a bloody chance. You've got a bloody chance, have you? Patrick Lynch says, we also conceded with a back five, so did it shore up the defence? We invited them on more with the change. Thank you, Patrick. James says, giving it to Carrick, a developing coach, isn't fair on him. It reminds me of the way we burn young players, promising start, and then we put under pressure in a role they're not ready for. Look, I did see it last night. I'm going to steal it. Somebody said, one positive of giving it to Carrick, and if it goes wrong, is that Wilcox will surely get the sack, and so will Omar Berada. Well, they should have had the sack already, but I do agree. If it goes really badly under Carrick, there's nowhere to hide, is there? There's no skill there with Carrick. He's just been lucky, says having a laugh. How many times have other teams hit the post and bar, says Keel Robinson. Whoever we get as our manager, Mojo says he needs to be backed properly. No point giving it to Carrick or Nagelsmann and then just giving them three or four players. Failure is guaranteed. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we're all in agreement that Carrick's going to get this job. And I think we're all in agreement, well, unless somebody disagrees with me, and I think we're all in agreement that when Carrick gets the job, he has to be given a huge budget. I mean, you don't give a guy like that very little players, you know? And also, you know what? I want to just say this. If you look at the players that may be performing for Michael Carrick, Bruno Fernandes, Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Dalot, Casemiro is obviously leaving. The funny thing about those five players is they've all sacked multiple managers, which means they've all played in inconsistent teams, which means they've all been light on, light off players. Now, I know that's a very unfair thing to say about Harry Maguire and Bruno Fernandes, but the reality is our key players have all sacked managers and played in inconsistent teams. So what's the confidence that they actually are going to be the players to build a better future with? Concerningly, the players that actually need to be part of our future are the players that are struggling. Amad, Mbeumo, Cunha, you know, they're not there at the moment. Given Carrick is the cheap pick for Glinios, how bad do you think it would need to be before he got sacked and Southgate bought in as... Oh, God, Jason. Don't make it worse, Jason. Don't make it worse. John United says, Harry's on the Carrick bandwagon. No surprise if his first choice centre-back next year. It's crazy keeping players you should have left. I can't see us changing how we play if most of them same issues remain, says John. Look, I think Maguire played well last night. I think I gave him a 7, didn't I? He was very unlucky not to score. But you know what? I actually think it's not worth overanalyzing the game last night at all. But if you wanted to overanalyze the game last night, playing Maguire in a back four, we kept giving up chance after chance after chance after chance. When it goes to a back five, we're absolutely fine. And this is what I said about giving Harry Maguire a new contract. I don't rate him in a back four. Not quick enough, not mobile enough, you know, gets found out. In a back five, a very good player. We're not playing a back five, are we? Or we did until we did last night. So if Maguire's staying next season, it's because he wants to play games. And if Maguire is playing games next season, are we going to be playing a back five again, or are we going to play a back four again? It feels like some of our fans have developed Stockholm syndrome towards our owners and boards. We've been abused for so long that when they give us a tiny bit of hope, they grab it and thank them, says Slazy. Thank you very much, pal. Thank you to Asher as well. Appreciate that. Just on Casemiro, Cad's crew says, "My Maguire is right, and you love the game, Mark. Stop pretending to dislike everything. You're a nice bloke, and you're going to make yourself great." I'm a bit concerned because you sound like a mind reader, and I know I'm probably one of the few people that loved the first 12 minutes of the game last night. I thought the tempo was good. I thought the intensity was good. We started a game at Old Trafford in the way that we should start a game at Old Trafford. I think it's the best 12 minutes we've had under Michael Carrick since Man City, which was, January? I will argue that with anybody. I thought the first 12 minutes last night was really, really good. Really, really good. And then after that, we got a goal. And I don't know whether it's... I can't remember who the manager was. But we used to do it under a manager. I don't know whether it was... Maybe it was Ranić. Maybe it was Ten Hag. We could press for 10 minutes, basically, and then we'd never do it again for the rest of the game. And I can't remember who the manager... It might have been Van Gaal, I don't remember. But we used to do it for like 10 minutes, and then we couldn't do it again. And I saw... For last night, for 12 minutes, we played really, really well. We got the goal, and then it stopped. And it was almost like the tactics were go at them, get the goal, and then defend the lead and counter. Because that's what sort of seemed to happen. I agree, Cads. I really enjoyed the first 12 minutes, but after that, I think it got progressively worse. And we were lucky to get that second goal. You know, when you watch it back, Brentford were all over us. They actually attacked us. Ahmad made a very good tackle, and we ended up in a 3v2 because Brentford were trying to get the equaliser before half time. If anything, Brentford's dominance played into our hands on the old counter again. I mean, let's call it what it is. Maguire loves playing for Carrick because it's counter-attacking football. Bruno loves playing with Carrick because it's counter-attacking football. This is like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer all over again. Harry Maguire with Lindelof playing in the back four, deep counter-attack. Bruno looking for that Hollywood ball to get somebody in for an assist. This team can't play Ten Hag ball. It can't play Amrin ball. It probably can't play Nagelsmann ball. It probably can't play Pep ball. It loves counter-attacking football. Do you love counter-attacking football? I find it quite boring to watch. It can be effective. Ollie didn't get sacked after 3 months. He got sacked after 3 years. Mourinho sort of did it a little bit as well. We love counter-attacking football at Man United. That's who we are. People say, what's the style of play that Man United play? Predominantly, when you play a style of football for 10 years, that's your style of play. We play counter-attacking football. Man United's DNA is counter-attacking football. When Jesse Lingard talks about DNA, he played in a counter-attacking team. Rashford played in a counter-attacking team. Maguire has played in a counter-attacking team. Man United, modern DNA is counter-attacking football. It's not what I want it to be, but it is. That's who we are. Some of you youngsters will only know counter-attacking football. That's what Man United do. In which case, we've probably got the right guy. What needs to be addressed if Carrick gets the job is the coaching staff for next season. The current lot are surely a disaster, says Mojo. Joey says, do you not buy Carrick's comments about results are important at this time of the season and saying there are layers of football he wants to achieve? I think that results. Well, look, that's the risk, isn't it, Joey? It's a great point. Maybe we're going to play brilliant football next season, but we don't know it. So we're just, as I said, Joey, we're giving the job to Carrick on results. We're not giving it to him because he's a great coach who plays good football or because he's selling us a vision. He has gone on results. He's gone very short term. He's gone very blinkered. He's gone Casemiro, Maguire, Bruno. He's gone with experienced short-term players and results. And that's why he's getting the job. Carrick would be better suited for the Madrid. We need a proper coach, not a rendition of Zizou. We need a proper tactician, strategist, and Carrick isn't him. Unfortunately, this is MUFC, KD. A club run by morons, Belieber. Wow, I'm so excited. Not, says Melvin. And Mojo says, whenever we've qualified for the Champions League, we've not done decent enough signings, leading to the manager being sacked the next season. Tells me it will be a frustrating summer and a season where we would cross our fingers and hope for a miracle. Look, as and when they give the job to Carrick and as and when we find out what happens in the summer transfer window, all I will say here, and it's a bit of a low bar, but I will say this now because none of us deserve this not to happen. All I will say is, however badly it goes wrong next season, if it goes badly, please do not be out of Europe again. Because once is bad enough. This last season, not in Europe, has been, I think we can all agree, even though we don't agree on everything, this season has been bloody torture. It has been horrible. And United on that board needs somebody to say, whatever decision we make, whoever the manager is, and whatever our appetite in the budget is in the summer, we cannot have a season like that again. And we have to make sure that we put things in place that that doesn't happen. We cannot have another season like that. Thank you very much for all your super chats. Oh yeah, I was just going to say this about Casemiro. There are still people running their mouths this morning about one more year for Casemiro, right? And I love football and I love the conversation around football, but you might know I really do struggle with hypotheticals. You know, you sometimes get it on a watch along. Nagelsmann and three average signings, or Carrick and five world-class signings. And I'm like, well, that's just not it's not real. I can't do real. You know, even when I used to play Sabutio when I was like 10, you know, Sabutio is like you have these, you know, little flicky players in 11 against 11. If I was practicing against myself, and it was like Liverpool against Man United, I'm not the person who would go, oh, it's 20-0 and it's Andy Cole again. I would always make Liverpool do quite well to make it more realistic. I can't do hypothetical, right? I can't do fantasy hypothetical. Some people love it. You can sit down the pub with John and he absolutely loves it. Would you rather have a bubble bath with Margot Robbie or, you know, go to a nudist beach with, you know, I don't know, somebody good looking, right? And I'm like, well, neither's going to happen, John, is it? So let's talk about Man United's defence. But the point is, this Casemiro conversation, I've got to say, it's just rubbish. It's absolutely rubbish. I'm hearing people go, one more year. Should we give Casemiro one more year? They're probably doing it on TalkSport. Should Casemiro get one more year? And I feel like going, why are we wasting our time? Why are we wasting our time talking about this? He's not going to get another year. There is no conversation. He's not getting another year. Even Michael Carrick said it again after the game. That's not a conversation. Both sides are parting ways. There is no conversation about it at all. Absolutely no point even talking about it. We are not giving Casemiro another contract. He is on 300 grand a week. It goes up by 50 grand a week if we get Champions League football. And Man United, rightly or wrongly, and let me just say, this is Ineos for you. They tried to get rid of Casemiro last summer and the summer before that. So this amazing season that Casemiro's had, 9 goals for a number 6, would never have happened if that hadn't happened. So, you know, I think it's the Casemiro conversation is ridiculous. And look, I acknowledge it in the sense that some people's brains work like that, but you're arguing about nothing. you're debating nothing. He is not staying. He doesn't want to stay. United don't want him to stay. Financial, wrong or right, whether you think it's wrong or right, there is no change of position on this. He is gone. He is leaving. He is finished. He is not going to be a Man United player next season. So, oh, let's keep him for another year. No, it won't happen. It's not even a debate. It just won't happen. How about this? Carrick getting the job, sacked after 2 months. I was star-signing in Belabor. We will be Spurs this time next year, says Man U FC 1264. Daniel Thompson says, I'll forever love Carrick, but experience wins titles, experience wins, and inexperience wins a P45, and we need to learn from Chelsea's errors with Rosinha. Need experience. If it's Michael Carrick, I'll back him. I just hope the board do too. I think that what I would say, a lot of people saying, you know, what if Carrick gets sacked after 3 months? The scary thing is, if you look at the way Man United play Southgate ball, Southgate was England manager for 6 years, 8 years. What if we get this style of football for the next 5 years and we finish fourth or fifth? The scary thing about this style of football is it gets results. You don't get, you know, people saying Carrick gets sacked in 3 months. I don't think that. That's not my fear. I think he's here for 3 years. I think we get this brand of football for, you know, years. And also, remember, they won't want to sack him. They won't want to sack him because, and how will they sack him? So, how, Man United didn't want to sack Amrin. Remember this. We sacked Amrin because he fell out with Wilcox. He basically sacked himself. He fell out with Wilcox. Man United didn't want to sack Amrin. He fell out with Wilcox and it got to a point where it was like, sack me. So, is Michael Carrick going to fall out with Jason Wilcox? No. I don't see a situation where they do sack him. I think that I don't think he'll ever do badly enough that we need to sack him. But what if he just keeps doing this? You know, he could be here for a very long time. Could be here for a very long time. You know, as long as he can finish fifth or sixth for the next 5 years, I think they'd keep him anyway. So I wouldn't talk about Carrick being sacked in the next 3 months. I think it'll be a very long-term project. I'm just terrified of it. I accept it's going to happen, but I feel I'll be on the right side of history about it. I hope I'm wrong, but it still terrifies me because I watch games of football and results are very important, very, very important, but I watch games of football and I don't think we've played very well for a very long time. And I think we're very reliant on certain players. And you know what? Michael Carrick was the assistant coach of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. There are very, very, very big similarities to the way we played under Solskjaer. And Steve Holland was Gareth Southgate's right-hand man for 6 years. And there's very big similarities to England. And I didn't like either brand of football, to be honest with you. But look, beat Liverpool on Sunday. Maybe they'll announce it next week and we can get on with some transfers. I think that's the main thing. Sorry for the background noise today. Little bit of work going on. There must be because I can feel some dust coming in here. I am back with you tonight. We've got a 2 o'clock show. Beth's back from Naples. She's been on a McTominay watch. That God knows what she's going to be talking to you about 2 o'clock. All sorts, probably. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. I am back with you at 7 o'clock tonight because tonight is pure football. Tonight is for the love of the game. Tonight on That's Football, it's PSG against Bayern Munich. Do not miss it. It's going to be a great game. Thank you very much for all your comments today. Absolutely loved it. Brilliant show. Lots to get into. Bit worried about this transfer stuff at the start, you know, lowering expectations again. We won't overpay. What is overpaying in football? What is overpaying in football? Like, is spending £100 million on Elliot Anderson overpaying? No. So why are Man United putting it out there? Thanks, everybody, watching. What work are you having done? I'm building a super studio. It's like a big, massive studio that's about, it's half the size of a football pitch and it's got a goal in it. It's got a gaming corner. It's massive, absolutely massive. Take care, everyone. Stay safe. Oh, finally, SJA, there's the award. We won it. last night, you might not have heard, we won Sports Journalism Award for Best YouTube Show for our coverage of the Bundesliga this year on That's Football. Thank you very much. Well done. It's your award. That's why it's there. Take care.